Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Rishon, 13th day of the month of Tammuz. I hope you had a wonderful Shabbos and that you are having a great weekend. Again, our sincerest apologies for the technical difficulties on Friday, Arab Shabbos. I believe we have figured it all out, but we'll figure it out as we get through today. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you would like to sponsor future calls, and we greatly appreciate your support, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to introduce Rabbi Yosef Alt, Mora D'Asra of the Golf Manor Synagogue in Cincinnati, Ohio, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Alt reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, the Mishnah Berachah L'Cholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation between Rabbi Alt and myself, which will provide all of us a window into his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Alt.
Thank you, Naftali, for this very special opportunity. Before I begin, I want to share my deep gratitude to the OU, the Orthodox Union, for everything that they've been doing for Klal Yisrael over the course of this pandemic. Providing guidance and unlimited resources, just more and more and more. And a special thank you specifically to Naftali Herman for organizing this, and not only this phone call, but as a facilitator, he does a tremendous amount of work, and much of what we benefit from the OU is only possible because of his hard work and hard work of many others that do not necessarily get the same recognition because they're behind the scenes. And we owe them a tremendous thank you. In this past Shabbos, in the Torah reading, we read Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas begins with the Paradum, with the red heifer, and then immediately after that, we get back into many of the trials and tribulations of the Jewish people's experiences in the Midbar, in the desert, in the wilderness, as they traveled from the Mitzrayim, from Egypt, all the way to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. When the Torah introduces the first episode following the Paraduma, the Torah uses a unique language. And I want to share with you a question, which is a very striking question for any diligent student of Rashi's commentary. And I also want to share with you a very powerful answer from the Simchas Yisrael Brody in his Sefer Sum Derech. The Pasuk, the Torah, when it introduces the first episode following the Paraduma, the Torah uses the following language: Vayavo'u v'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda midbar tzin v'chodesh harisham, v'yeshev ha'am v'kadesh. And b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, they came, kol ha'eda, the entire congregation, Midbar Tzin, to the desert of Tzin, on the first month, and the nation settled there in Kadesh. Those extra two words, Kol Ha'eda, the entire congregation, are unique, unusual words for the Torah to use, and Rashi, in his commentary, makes note of it, and he explains, based on the Midrash Tanhuma, Eda HaShalema. It was a complete congregation, Shekra Mesu, Mesu Midbar, the Eilu Parshu L'Chaim. For those who were destined to die in the wilderness, had already passed, and what remained was the next generation that would be the generation of Jews that would enter the land of Israel. So here, if you pay close attention, the Torah is really taking a quantum leap in the timeline of the Midbar narrative, the narrative of the Jews travels through the wilderness. We're jumping now all the way to the last year. All of the Jews that had to pass away from that first generation, who had to die in the desert after the decree from the sin of the spies, they had now passed away. And now from this point on, we're dealing with that last year. If we look back and we think about when all the events of the Midbar, of the desert, occurred, all the many complaints and the many plagues and suffering and difficulties that we faced as we traveled through the desert, you'll notice that everything up until this point happens within the first year and just a little bit past that first year. And now, all of a sudden, the Torah jumps to the last year. And the question is, what happened to the 38 years in the middle? How is it possible that the Torah would totally leave out everything that happened for 38 out of the 40 years? It's remarkable. That's the question that needs to be answered. The Simcha Yisrael Brody in Tisevah Sanderas says a fascinating answer. And he suggests that if there was anything worth recording, the Torah would have recorded it. There is no question. And the reason why those 38 years are not represented, why they do not appear in our Torah, is because nothing happened. There was nothing to record. There were no significant complaints, no decrees, no starvations and droughts that caused the nation to complain to Moshe, to Aaron, to Hashem. None of that happens. It only happened in the beginning and in the end. Now that answers our question as to why the Torah doesn't tell us anything about those 38 years, but it creates an entirely new question. How is that possible? How is it possible that so much occurred in the first year, so much occurred in the last year, so many challenges, so many failures on behalf of the Jewish people, so many difficulties, and then for 38 years in the middle, we were perfect, perfect little angels. How is that possible? How could that be? Simcha Yisrael offers a very powerful answer, which I think is very relevant to us. And he writes that it's the difference between Yishuv Hadas and Bilbo Hadas, whether a person is settled, whether a person is living a life of tranquility, or whether a person is dealing with change, transition, with upheaval. And he writes that the challenges that are created when a person is in a state of transition, even if it's a very positive transition, the challenges become very great and very real. And therefore, when the Jewish people in their first year were transitioning from a life of slavery in Egypt to an entirely different life, they jumped tremendously from the 49th level of impurity all the way up to the highest levels of prophecy, seeing open miracles, now being introduced to a Torah, to an entirely new life of dedication to Hashem. That was a tremendous transition that happened very quickly. And it was a lot for the Jewish people to absorb and to digest. And that was responsible for many of their failures and many of their challenges and difficulties. The trials and tribulations of that first year were because of that. But then, things after the decree of the spies and the sin of the spies, and they knew that they were in the desert for the long haul for an entire 4 years, things settled down. We were eating manna, we were drinking from the wells that escorted us through the desert, protected by the clouds of glory, learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, Jewish utopia on earth. Nothing occurred during those years. We were settled. But then, when it came to the last year of our travels in the desert, things started to shift. We now re-entered a state of transition, because now that first generation was gone, their children were now preparing to complete the mission, complete the trek to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, and to enter the land of Israel, and to shift again to an entirely new way of life, a life of open miracles, of being directly cared for by Hashem through manna falling from the sky, to a very physical agricultural society of the land of Israel, a very different way of life. And that transition also created tremendous challenges, and that is why we find that all of a sudden the trials and tribulations start up again. And again, the Jewish people are complaining and suffering all types of difficulties from this point until the end of the 40 years. That is the idea of that Rav Simcha Zisa Brody offers to explain this anomaly that we find in the Torah. And I think that there's an important message for us as it relates to us is we continue to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. I don't know about many others, but I personally felt that the lockdown, after the lockdown was in place, things became easier. In the beginning, when everything was very rapidly changing, that was by far the most stressful time. And then when the lockdown was in place, it took a bit of time to figure out how to function in that new reality. But once that routine was established, as difficult as it may have been to be able to be working at home and having all the kids at home and schooling at home and everything going on at the same time, but there was a sense of knowing that this is how things are going to be. And now the things are opening up, thank God, and continuing in that direction. As much as there's a certain degree of excitement in the air that maybe the light at the end of the tunnel is getting closer, but we've shifted back into a state of transition, and I'm finding that as much as I'm excited for the fact that things are opening up, but there are new challenges that are arising, new difficulties, new stresses, because we are now back into a state of transition. And two things that I think are important for us perhaps to absorb, to internalize, to be thinking about is number one, the awareness. Simply to be aware of our own state, to be aware of the fact that we are in a state of transition and that that's creating challenges, I think is very important, very significant in appreciating ourselves and what's realistic for ourselves in our own lives, and also having a little extra patience for others, for people, our own family members, for our friends, and to appreciate that we're all in this together. We're going through this transition, and it's creating challenges. And then finally, to find that you should adapt, to maybe go a little bit, push a little extra hard to find ways in which we can afford ourselves a little bit of calm, a little bit of tranquility amongst all the upheaval, amongst all the transitions, whether it means just to take a daily walk for 15 minutes to clear our minds, or whatever the case may be, whatever works for every individual. I think that that's really an important tool that we can use to help us at this time. And it's something that we can learn from Parshas Chukat. I'm now going to continue with the recital of Tehillim, of the Psalms, of three, we'll recite together three talk and three chapters of Sefer Tehillim. We'll begin with Perek Chof, chapter 20. Mamnatseach Mizmor de David. Ya'ancha adonai b'yom tzara, chagevcha shem Elohi Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh, Misioni Sadeka, Yizkor Kol Min Chosecha, Ba'olatzecha, Yidashina Sela, Yitain Lecha Chilvavecha, Chol Atzosecha Yimalei, Niranen of Yishua Secha, Vishen Elohim Nidbo, Yimalei Adinoi Kol Mishalei Secha, Ato Yodati, Ki Hoshia Adinoi Mishicho, Ya'anehu Mishumei Kotcho, Begurot Yesha Yimino, Eidav Arefet, Ve'eidav Asusim, Ve'anachnu, B'shem Adinoi Eloheinu Naskir. Hema Kar'u V'nafalu V'anachnu Kamnu V'nisoidot. Adinoi Hoshia HaMelech Ya'anenu V'yom Kareinu. We'll now continue with Perek Chof Zayin, chapter 27. We're having in mind that Hashem should accept our tefillos on behalf of all those who are ill, and he should restore complete health to all of them. David Adinoi Olivi Yishi, Mini Ira, Adinoi Ma'oiz Chaya Mini Echod, the Kov Olaim Reim Lechol Es Bisari, Torai V'Oyevai Li, Hema Koshavu V'Nafalu, Mitachane Olaim Machane V'Yira Libi, Im Takum Olaim Milchama V'Zos Anibotech, Achas Sho'alt Mirit Adinoi, Osoch Avakesh, Shiz B'Beis Adinoi Kol Yemei Chayai, Lachatuz B'Noam Adinoi U'Vakir B'Heicholo, Ki Yitzpeneni B'Tzuko B'Yom Ra'a, Yastirene B'Seser Arlo, Etzur Yerom Emeni, The Ata Yorin Roshi Al Oyevai Sedivosai, The Ezbachov Ahalo Zivche Sevua, Ashira V'Azamel Adinoi, Shma Adinoi Koli Ekra, V'Chaneni V'Aneni, L'cha Amalivi Pachu Fonoi, Es Panecha Adinoi Avakesh, Al Tasper Panecha Mimeni, Al Tas Be'af Avdecha, Ezosi Hayisa, Al Titsheni V'Al Ta'azveni Elohei Yishi, Ki Ovi V'Imi Azevuni, V'Adinoi Ya'asveni. Hoyveni Adinoi Darkecha, Unecheni Bo'erech Mishor, Lema'an Shoyeroi. Al Titsneni B'Nefesh Tzoroi. Ki kamu di eidei sheker di efei chamos. Lulei ha'emanti liros betul adinoi be'eretz chayi. Kavei el adinoi chazak v'yameit libecha v'kavei el adinoi. We'll conclude with part Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir hama'alos, mima'amakim kerosicho adinoi. Adinoi Shema V'Koli, Tihiena Oznecha Kashivos V'Kol Tachanunoi. Im Adonoi Tishmayoch Adinoi Miya Amod. Ki Imacha Asricho Nama'an Tivore. Ki Viti Adinoi Kiveso Nafshi V'Lidvaro Hocholti. Nafshi L'Adinoi, Mishomrim L'Boker, Shomrim L'Boker. Yachil Yisrael El Adinoi. Ki Im Adinoi HaChesed V'Harbi Imoi Sedus. Yehu Yiste Es Yisrael Mikol Avonosav. I'll now continue with the Mishaberach for the Cholim, the special prayer for the sick. I will pause at the point where we insert the names, and everyone that is participating in this call is invited to insert whatever names that you are currently davening, praying for. Mishaberach Avoseinu. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aharon, David, Yishlomo, whom you were raised, Virate Esacholem. Besoch, Sha'ar, Choli, Yisrael, Ba'avur, She'enachim, Yisbalim, Ba'avuram. Chazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimali Rachamim Aleihem, Nachlimam, Laposam, Ulachzikam, Ulachayosam. Yishlach Lehem Mehera, Refuah Shleima Min HaShemayim, Leramach Ivoreihem, Ushasa Gideihem, Besoch Shar Chod Yisrael, Refuah HaNefesh, Refuah HaGuf. Hashra Ba'agalot Bizman Kariv, V'Neymar Amen. I'll conclude with the recital of Achenu. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, Hanesunim Tzor Uveshivya, Ha'omdim Bein Bayom Uvein Bayabosha, Ha'mokom Yerachim Aleihem, V'yotiyam Yitzor Uvevacha, Me'afela La'ora, Yeshiva de Geula, Pashta Ba'agola Mizman Kariv, V'nomar Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Alt. As we transition into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and wonderful community doing?
Thank God we're doing well. We are making the most of these unusual times. Certainly, we're facing many of the same challenges that families are facing across the country, you know, with figuring out how to spend the summer with the kids and how to make it a meaningful and enjoyable summer for them without a camp to send them to.
Right. It's a challenge for many. For those of us who have not had the great fortune to visit your community, please share with us a brief overview of what the Jewish community is like in your neck of the woods?
Cincinnati, Ohio is really a wonderful place to live. The Jewish community here is really something special. And if you haven't had the opportunity to visit, please do so. We always enjoy visitors. It's a small knit community, about 300 plus Orthodox families. And we all know each other. We're all friends, feel very much like family. There are three shuls here in Cincinnati. CVE is one of them, Congregation Zichron Eliezer, and then there is Shari Torah, and then my shul, which is Gulf Manor Synagogue. We are blessed to have two wonderful day schools here in Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Hebrew Day, which has been here for a very long time, and they've done tremendous work providing excellent chinuch for the children of Cincinnati. And more recently, a Montessori school has opened, and Or Torah Cincinnati, and they also have been providing excellent education for their students, and they've been growing significantly ever since they've begun.
Incredible. Well, I think we all have to put on our list of destinations to visit is certainly to come out to Cincinnati. Really seeing tremendous growth there. Rabbi Ald, how would you say your community has grown from the ongoing pandemic? What is something that's changed that you believe will continue in your Teshem, we hope soon in the post-corona world, or something that you believe needs to change?
That's an excellent question. Something I've been thinking about constantly over the course of this pandemic. Two things jump out at me that I've noticed. Number one is the application of necessity as the mother of invention. And I think all of the institutions in Cincinnati have stepped up to the challenge and have been very creative and very resourceful in finding ways to continue to support, to inspire, to educate, despite not having the face-to-face interaction. And I think that many of the tools that we've come to learn and to use are tools that we can continue to use and can really fuel our efforts going forward. The other thing that I've noticed, which I think has been very meaningful, is that there has been a unique ability for unity. And there are two dimensions to it. One is that there's a very strong sense that we're all in this together, you know, which is true of any crisis. But I think what was unique about this particular experience was that because the nature of it required people to stay home, the programming and a lot of what was being offered to the community didn't have some of the physical elements that naturally create certain degrees of divide. There was no there was no discussion or question as to who was going to host a specific event. There was no physical location for anything. And therefore, things did not appeal to specific groups as they normally would. And I think in a certain sense, a physical barrier was removed, which allowed for much broader community participation, which I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to find ways to continue that in our the post-corona life, as you put it.
Right, in Yiras Hashem. So that's a good segue to our next question, and with that we'll conclude. Different communities are at different points of partial opening. And parenthetically, I say partial opening because even though many shuls are quote-unquote open, it's in a limited capacity. Until all of Klal Yisrael, young and older, can come back, we are not truly back. At this point, unfortunately, many shuls are now even going backwards as numbers begin to surge and spike in different states across the country. Where is your shul currently at the moment, and do you anticipate anything changing in the near future?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that question. That's been probably one of the biggest challenges of this experience, is not knowing what's coming next. We began right around Shavuos, just before Shavuos, with outdoor minyanim. And then we have been hosting indoor minyanim for a number of weeks already. As you mentioned, in limited capacities, with social distancing and masks mandatory. For a while, Torah reading was, all of the aliyahs were only being done by the Baal Koreh, by the one who's reading the Torah. Mm-hmm. Very recently, we erected a plexiglass wall next to the shulchan to allow Olim to be able to come and still provide for that safety for the Baal Koreh. But numbers in Hamilton County have been going up. Things were quiet at first, and we were hopeful that that's how it would remain. But last week and the week before that, things have started to rise. Thank God the community, the Orthodox community, both at the beginning and now, have really had only a handful of cases, and everyone that has been infected has been able to recover from it safely, thank God. But as numbers have begun to rise, you know, the question is now becoming stronger. Will they continue to rise, and will we reach a point where it won't be safe for us to continue with our minyan, even with all of the precautions that are being taken? So that is that's a looming question that remains unanswered.
Yeah, well, Rabbi Al, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all the clients surrounding the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. And let's hope that those numbers decline really across the country and throughout the world. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered, Latova. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for words of inspiration from Rabbi Heshi Billet of Young Israel of Woodmere in Woodmere, New York. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, safe, and healthy day.